Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Now Kamil Jóźwiak, there it is. Kamil Jóźwiak's first goal for Derby County. It's a stunner.
Got the flick, and it's Kazim Richards who pokes it home. And Derby County are in dreamland after 25 minutes.
Knight on the follow-up. Derby lead at the Den.
Up in the air, in swing at Etheridge. Drops it, and it's in from Bielik. And Christian Bielik scores his first goal for Derby.
Hello, Simon here. Welcome back to the show. I know it's been a while. My house at the moment. I've been doing a lot of busy things. But I'm back. Podcast. Wow. So I'm recording this now. Derby have just beaten Wycombe Wanderers away from home. 2-1, last minute. Andre Wisdom pops up with the winner. Everybody listens to my show. You know how much I love Andre Wisdom. Big, big fan of him. Always have been. And nothing can change that. but these last few weeks have been strange, you know, at Derby. You know, we lost to Rotherham. We won 3 on the bounce. We lost to Rotherham again. And then we bounced back and we beat Middlesbrough at the weekend. And then Wycombe then is a massive game. You know, we struggle against teams that are down in that sort of area, you know, the where we are fighting, scrapping, you know, in the relegation zones. We've struggled all season against some sort of teams. And today was no different. Today we were very, very poor. There's no hiding it. In my eyes, we were shocking. Nothing stuck. You know, we played a style of football. It was just, there's hoofball and there's what we played tonight. It just felt like there was no structure. We took the lead for an own goal. You know, again, working on set pieces. A corner again. You know, we scored a corner against Middlesbrough at the weekend. This time was an own goal, whipped to the front post, and Ik Piazza, who was an absolute monster for Wycombe, heads it in his own net. And then we get to half time, and you're thinking, I actually was waiting for the half time whistle to come because Wycombe were just getting on top. You just thought we need to settle down, you know, get in at half time, regroup, and come out stronger and better and start, you know, tidying up because we were so sloppy with the ball. It just wasn't sticking to us. Passes were going astray, and you're just thinking, oh, this is going to be one of the nights. And then a few minutes into the second half, Knight brings the Wycombe player down. Apparently, Ik Piazza makes it for his own goal, scores. And it looked like the only winners were going to be Wycombe because we couldn't keep hold of the ball. I understand what Wayne Rooney's doing. You know, he's changed it up a bit. You know, he wants to, I guess, play each team as they come. And he knew that, you know, Wycombe were going to be a big physical presence, big physical, you know, strength. They're going to put balls into the box, put it to Ik Piazza, and then let him bring players around to him. So he thought, well, we'll do the same. We'll, you know, we played with two up top again with Gregory and Kazim Richards, and nothing was sticking. Everything was going up, and it was just coming back. You know, we were far too easy to defend against. Weren't threatening. And then, you know, he made Rooney, fair play to him. You know, at Rotherham a couple of weeks ago, he made 3 changes, changed our system, and we got battered 3-0 with, 10, 15 minutes to go. It was 0-0 at the time. This week, though, he's made changes. He's brought on Buchanan and Nathan Byrne. I sort of can't really understand why they were dropped. I can in a way. So he didn't necessarily say dropped, but he's changed it. He's brought on Forsyth at left back, and he's brought on Tendon Mengi. He was really a centre back, but plays him at right back. He's played there before. Now Mengi didn't really look comfortable at right back. You know, he didn't really do a great deal wrong, but you can tell it's his first senior professional game. And 10 minutes to go, he swaps it. He goes, right, let's bring on Buchanan, let's bring on Byrne. And for the first time in the whole game, we actually got balls wide and we put crosses in. and yeah, a couple of minutes for the end, Byrne puts a beautiful ball into the back post. Kazim Richards there, and you think, yes, this is the moment, and he's headed it wide. It's so wide. It was going towards the corner flag before it went out. It was poor, very, very poor. You expect him to bury that from 6 yards out. But nevertheless, we get another chance. Again, it comes from a free kick. It's Patrick Roberts, another player that's came on, and he looked dangerous. You know, he linked up well with Nathan Byrne on the right-hand side. You know, he wins himself a free kick. And Waghorn, I thought, what is the point? He's just going to have a shot here. It's probably going to go over like his last one did. But he didn't. He hits the post, bounces out, and there's Andre Wisdom to smash it home, and it's a goal. We didn't deserve to win that game. We really didn't. But it doesn't matter, because I don't really care. Because a win is a win. And this is what we need. It doesn't matter how we get them. You know, the amount of goals we've conceded late on this season that have cost us 3 points. It's about time the shoe was on the other foot and we got that late win. We can all say, yes, it wasn't good enough. We were very poor. Yeah, I think we can see that. But it doesn't matter, because a win papers over that. Sometimes you have to win ugly. Sometimes you have to be very lucky. And today we were lucky to get 3 points. I think, you know, some might say we were lucky to even potentially get a draw, but it doesn't matter, because we got the 3 points, we got the win, and that is basically all that matters. So we can all be buzzing now. We've got Watford obviously coming up on Friday. Again, you know, I think we did. You know, when we played them earlier in the season at their place, we lost 1-0. A bit hard to judge, because you know we were all at sixes and sevens. We sort of tried to do a defensive job on us, and it would. Oh, hang about, we? No, sorry, we're away at Watford. Yeah, they came to us, and again, yeah, when they came to us, we really tried to do a job on them, and it took a wonder goal to win the game. But we have had better luck against teams pushing up near the top six. Obviously, Watford up top two, pushing for promotion. But I think, you know, we have, tonight was a huge, huge game. It was the one of the biggest of the season, because we are, you know, we're now 6 points off the bottom three. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, every single week people are going, oh yeah, but this team did that, Sheffield Wednesday did this, Birmingham did this. We can't think about other teams at the minute. I don't see the point of looking at what other teams are doing. I think we just need to concentrate on ourselves, concentrate on what we're doing and how we're playing and how our game's going. And, you know, we just concentrate on our games. We've got to take it game by game. You know, we beat Middlesbrough, right, now we go to Wickham, right, we've beaten Wickham, now we go to Watford. You know, and it's going to be a tough ask, but we've got to be there. And this is it, you know, it's one of them at the moment where we are still in a scrap. Yes, we are 6 points clear. I think we are up to 16th now, or 15th, something like that. But that gap, you know, there's a lot of teams from the bottom upwards up to where we are that, you know, a few bad results and things going down below them, it can cause a little bit of, uh-oh, we're back in the bottom three. But I think at the moment we are on a high. You know, we are getting wins by any means necessary. You know, like we did against Middlesbrough, like we have done tonight. You know, and we hope we go against Watford and we get another win. Because all we can focus on at the moment is winning and doing what we need to do. One of the other blows today was the loss of Matt Clark. Yeah, he went off injured just before the end of the first half. I don't know if it was his hip, his back, something, but he put his body on the line. You know, Matt Clark is a solid, I don't know, old school defender, if you like. Yeah, he likes to play football, ball at his feet, he can dribble with it, pass and everything. But when it comes down to defending and gritting, he's not bothered. He will put his body on the line. He will take hits. It's very rare he stays down. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's just a knock and he'll be all right for Friday. However, George Edmondson, you know, deadline day, loan signing. He comes in, and I actually think he did a pretty decent job. You know, he's a big, strong lad. You know, he looks big, you know, he's tall. And one thing I've noticed about him is, you know, he likes to carry the ball forward. And, you know, we used to see that with Richard Keogh. Edmondson's quite happy, you know, he seems quite happy to pick the ball up on his own 18-yard line and run forward and run the length of the pitch. You know, he seems that way. So, you know, if Clark is injured, I'm quite confident that Edmondson could come in and do a job and form a partnership with Wisdom whilst Clark is out. So, you know, as you can say it's a blow, and it probably is, but I think, you know, the Edmondson signing, it looks to be a good signing. You know, he's a big, strong boy. But yeah, end of day. Today then, I really am. I'm so pleased. I've literally, football, we all know football, especially Derby, they do mess with your emotions. You have, you know, I was sat here watching that game and I was just, this is horrendous. I thought we're going to lose this, or it's going to be a draw. And I think it's going to be, you know, not really a fair result. Wigan probably may have deserved it, but to get the win, I don't care. You know, it gives everyone a lift. It gives the team confidence. We saw it last season when we got that last-minute equaliser against Wigan. In a game we played very, very poorly in. We were very bad, but we snatched a last-minute equaliser. That kicked us on. It kicked us up another gear. Can this do the same? That's the question. Can that last-minute winner from Andre Wisdom, I can't believe I'm saying that, his first league goal, I think he's made 200 league appearances, 200 career starts, and that's his first league goal for Derby. Obviously, he's got one in the cup. He got against Northampton, his first league goal. Can that now push us on and go, you know what? Yes, we played badly, but we got the result. Now we have to up our game and play better. The problem, what I'm seeing at the moment, obviously, we've seen Rooney, you know, Rooney came in, he basically stuck to a rigid 4-3-3. You know, your back four, you're three with Bielik in there, your two centre midfielders, and then your wing, you know, a bit like McLaren. So, and we played a style of football similar to McLaren for the first few games. But then he's tinkered and tampered. He's played a 3-4-3. And I thought once Bielik got injured, I thought he might sort of go back to this 3-4-3, which he hasn't. He's gone 4-4-2. You know, he's brought in Lee Gregory on loan, another loany deadline day sign, and he went 4-4-2, something you don't really see very much nowadays in football. You know, he went him and Colin, and they linked up well. I think they didn't really link up well tonight, but they did against Middlesbrough. And part of me says, stop tinkering. Have a solid 11 that you're confident you can trust and they can go out and do a job for you. But the other part then says, well, actually, with the amount of games we've got coming, you know, I think it's like 7 games in the next 3 weeks, or 6 now, after today's. Maybe, yeah, maybe we do need to tinker. Maybe we do need to get players in, keep them fresh, you know, especially for Byrne and Buchanan, who obviously do a lot of legwork, a lot of running. You know, we got Watford coming up. So, yeah, part of me thought maybe it was a good idea to rest them. You know, Forsyth, it'll come in, it'll do a job. You know, he's reasonably solid for me. You know, you can sort of rely on, yeah, he might make an iffy pass every now and again. We did one tonight. Luckily, nothing came upon it. But, you know, I thought other than that, he did all right. But what I felt we lacked tonight was, I mentioned it previously, was width. We seemed to just lump everything through the middle, and we didn't really use our wingers. And we saw Jozwiak coming off his wing. We saw Waghorn coming off his wing. Now, that's fine, but what we normally get with Buchanan, when you've got Buchanan and Byrne playing, is you get them bombing down the line and creating overlaps. We didn't have that with Mengi and Forsyth. Whether they were told not to, or whether they just didn't feel like they were confident enough for doing it, I don't know. But we really, really did lack width tonight. And fair play, Rooney, like I said, he brought them on. He brought Buchanan and Byrne on, and he sort of changed the shape a little bit, went one up top. And it worked. It paid off. You know, Byrne, who I think he's created the most chances this season for us. You know, he puts in a brilliant ball, which, you know, obviously I think Colin Kazim-Richards knows he should have scored that, but he didn't. But it doesn't matter because, you know, he links up with Patrick Roberts, who, you know, my view, probably would be starting ahead of Waghorn had he not picked up a slight knock. You know, he's played, he's come on in the second half today, played 20 minutes. Whether he starts on Friday, I don't know, but he looks a threat. He looks like another winger that wants to take players on. And, you know, I quite like watching that. That's what you want your wingers to do. And he linked up with Byrne quite well. He held it up nice and, you know, played it around the corner. I saw him do it against Rotherham as well. Where he's come on, he's held it up, held the defender on him, and he's played a little round the corner pass for Byrne to run onto him and put a ball in. And against Rotherham, Gregory missed the header from 6 yards out. God knows how he did that. And then tonight, you know, he's done it again, the same again, this time to CKR again, who's missed the header. Come on, strikers, headers, 6 yards out. Let's find the back of the net. So the signings, obviously, like I said, I've not done a podcast for a couple of weeks. So I did miss this, talking about the transfers, etc., which obviously we all know who they are now. And they have made improvements. They really have. I mean, especially, you know, Tom Lawrence, he's been out for a while with an injury, you know, bit of a strange one, really. It was an ankle injury, and you know, 1 minute he's training, the next minute he's had a setback, then he's training, then he's had a setback. Not quite sure what is going on there, to be honest. I really don't. You know, is he being kept out because of his fitness? And this is the thing, you know, you look at Tom Lawrence now, he's been out for a month or so now, maybe a bit longer. You know, he's not going to be, you know, Rooney doesn't seem to like playing players unless they are fit. So even if he does come back as in fit, ready to, you know, be able to play, he will not come back into this squad straight away because he will be nowhere near match fit. You know, I'm looking at Jordan Ibe as well. Jordan Ibe, another person that has had his issues. You know, he's had issues with mental health. He put a post out on Instagram, you know, saying that he's having issues, he's struggling, but he's working on that. And the club is supportive of him. And that's great to see. And we're seeing him, he's now posting videos of what he's doing to keep fit, to stay in shape, to try and get back up to some sort of fitness, you know. And he looks good. He looks like he's lost a lot of weight. I posted a picture on Twitter and Facebook the other day of him. Looks like he's lost a heck of a lot of weight. He's working with Shane Nicholson. You know, we all know what he's like when it comes to fitness. You know, being a strength and conditioning coach. You know, so that's going to cause, you know, competition for places. And this is what we want, because at the moment, we only really have Jozwiak and Waghorn who, on the wings. And Waghorn, again, he had quite a few chances tonight and couldn't find the target. And then Jozwiak, who obviously there was a lot of hype about him when we brought him in, and he's showing glimpses of what he can do. He drops into little pockets of space, but sometimes I think he does too much. I think his feet work quicker than his brain sometimes, you know. Very good player, very quick player, very skillful little player, but sometimes that final decision making, that final ball needs to be better. You know, he's only young, he's only what, 21, 22. That can be worked on, and it will be worked on. You know, I think he had a great opportunity tonight where the ball came whizzing in at him, you know, into near the front post area. And he looks to pull the trigger, and Kazim Richard comes and slides in and tries to get himself. Again, miscommunication, that was all about tonight. But there's a chance for him to score. But he doesn't stop working, he doesn't give up. You know, he keeps working, he keeps pestering, keeps getting back, you know, in defence, etc., things like that. So, you know, there's clearly talent there. And I think he's one of them players that will frustrate fans. But as fans sometimes we seem to get on those sort of players' backs. You know, we did it with, at times, Tom Ince. Yeah, he did have end product though, but you know, these wingers and players that like to be skillful, like to take players on, sometimes they'll lose the ball. And if they lose the ball, you know, it goes down as rubbish, he's woeful. I don't think Jozwiak's woeful. I don't think he's rubbish. I think he's a really good player. I just think his decision-making at times needs to be better. He needs to sort of sometimes look for the pass sooner. There is times as well where he'll be in his own half, and I can see what he's doing. There's times where he's in his own half and he looks to rather than just hoof the ball forward. Because that's a lot of time today, you know. It's not just today, but it's other games. Again, the last 10, 15 minutes against Middlesbrough, we were just looking to hoof the ball out, and it's going up to either their defender or it's going up to Kazim Richards, and he's holding it up or he's losing it, and it's coming back at us. And what Jozwiak's trying to do is hold the ball up to get players ahead of him, just to play a short pass so he can break on the counter-attack. And, you know, it's risky and it's dangerous because he does get a lot of players on him straight away. Two or three players on him sometimes straight away. And, you know, he gets caught in a cul-de-sac and, you know, it will cause trouble. I must say that I think his performances have dipped as well since Bielik come out of the squad with injury. You know, huge, huge, huge blow. Another ACL injury for him. That's his season over. Probably part of next season over as well. But I think, you know, despite all that, you know, I think we are starting to look like a team of, well, we're not looking, we are. Wayne Rooney, you know, has made us become a team of fighters, grafters, believers. You know, there seems to be something in the team that was missing under Philip Cocu that, you know, Rooney's instilled something in us, because we don't stop working. Even if we're playing badly, we'll still continue to try and work, to dig in, to get tackles in, to put bodies behind the ball, to put our bodies on the line, you know, defensively wise. You know, it's no surprise we've got one of the best defences in the league at the minute since Rooney's taken over. You know, you would have never really have guessed or thought that Wayne Rooney, you know, England's top goal scorer, making us defensively solid, which is, you know, Rooney's got to take a lot of credit for that. You know, and again, you've got to put credit onto the likes of Andre Wisdom and Matt Clark, who formed some, you know, a brilliant partnership. They've got a great understanding of each other. But things are looking up. You know, a couple of months ago, we were looking as if we're in a relegation scrap. Now we are looking like we can win games. We are, fans are optimistic now. You know, we're optimistic we're going to stay in this league. When we see teams we're coming up against, you know, we're optimistic thinking, yeah, actually, you know what, I'm feeling it today. I think we can win today. You know, there is times where, you know, earlier in the season, even under Rooney, earlier this season, where we sort of, as fans, went, not feeling it today. I don't think I'm going to, you know, I'm not having it, you know. And I blame some of this on the takeover. That, again, obviously on my last podcast I spoke about it with Salam. You know, the takeover now then, obviously Mel Morris came out and gave an exclusive interview to the Daily Mail, of all papers, about the takeover. Now, it was interesting what he said. Now, like me and Salam discussed on my last podcast, so the Sheikh then is essentially, he's fronting up a takeover, so he needs an investor. The investor that he had, you know, pulled out at the last minute. So when they were given out it would be done by December the 24th, when it'd be done by December the 31st or whatever it was, those were the dates they were hoping for. However, the backer pulled out. For whatever reason, we don't know, but they pulled out. So the Sheikh's then looking for other backers. There's been a lot of stuff flying around. There's been a document that was supposed to be all with a load of stuff on it, which was supposed to be a proposal to somebody, which I believe it was fake. There were some questionable things in there, like the squad was worth £100 million and they can still get playoffs, even though we were sat like second bottom of the league or something like that at the time. You know, there was all that coming out, which, you know, and essentially then where we are then is what Mel Morris was saying was the takeover is still on. As it stands. But it made it sound like, well, actually, it's obviously they signed an agreement in principle. Now, how long that lasts, I don't know. Whether it's 3 months, whether it's 6 months, I'm not sure. But obviously that contract that they've got, you know, it's only going to last for so long, you know, and if something doesn't happen, that deal will fall apart. And that is probably the most likely of case at the minute, is that the deal with the Sheikh you know, is going to go astray. It'll be, you know, it's going to end. However, there is, you know, supposedly now American backers involved. Who they are, I don't know yet. I'm trying to do some digging for you. I don't know any American journalists yet that might have some information. They're also Derby fans, so it might be a tough one on that. But you know, there's been rumours I've seen of Tom Glick. You know, Tom Glick obviously was a shareholder in the club a few years back. He now is something like the chief president or something like that of NFL team Carolina Panthers. Would be nice if he's using some of the Carolina Panthers owners' money. I think he's worth about 11, 12 billion pounds, $12 billion. So, yeah, that would be quite nice if you could make a consortium out of them. There'd be some money there, let me tell you. But, yeah, you know, as it stands, Mel Morris is still putting money into the club. He's still paying wages. That's where we believe the wages came from, was actually Mel and not loans, as something would suggest. You know, there's all sorts of rumours flying around at the minute, you know, about the takeover and what's happening. You know, when we reported on the last show, you know, that was fact. That's what we've found out, you know, from places in the Emirates, where obviously the Sheikh's from. And, you know, that's why I came out with it, because me and Salam, we trusted where we got the source from, where we got the information from. And at the moment, there's just a lot of hearsay about, no one really knows what's going on. But I think obviously the players, you know, I think obviously Wayne Rooney now in his press conferences, you know, he's saying he wishes he knew what, you know, he pretty much knows about as much as everyone else what's going on with the takeover. So he's not sure. So who knows, you know? But I think, I personally feel words have been said to Rooney about what's happening with the takeover, where we're at with it, you know, and he's relayed that to the players, or Mel or Stephen Pearce has relayed that to the players. So they've calmed down a bit, they've settled down, they know where they're at, they know they're getting paid every month. But, you know, this is why they weren't paid through, I think they missed December's and they missed some of January's as well, I believe. I can't remember now. But that was because they were, you know, Mel Morris was expecting the funds from the Sheikh or, you know, and DaVinci Holdings. They never arrived. So it's a funny one. No one's quite sure what's going on. I don't even think Mel Morris is quite sure what's going on. You know, he's been ill as well. It has been mentioned before by a few people that, yeah, he has been ill. He then confirmed this himself, said, yeah, he suffered with COVID. He's had to go on oxygen, but it wasn't hospitalised. It was his own personal sort of ventilator thing. You know, so, yeah, and that backs up the fact that we've not seen him for a while. I think the Swansea game was the last time we saw Mel Morris. You know, normally we see him a lot, you know, sat at the ground or whatever. And he's not been there. You know, he's been suffering. And I've said things about Mel Morris, you know, and how he's run the club, and those opinions don't change just because because he's been ill. You know, I think it's very sad that he's been ill. It's not nice. I won't wish COVID upon my worst enemy or anything like that. And I guarantee it's been horrendous for him trying to run this football club through what, you know, the world's going through this pandemic. But there is clubs out there, you know, there's a lot of clubs out there that are struggling, but there's also clubs out there that have managed, because they're managed well financially, COVID hasn't been a great, massive problem to them, if that makes sense. On the other hand, you flip it, you know, we've not been ran well as a football club over the last few years. And now it's come to bite us back in the arse with this pandemic. Not having fans in, etc. You know, look at the state of the pitch. The pitch at Pryor Park is absolutely horrendous at the moment. Again, that's again, it's sort of COVID as well, that is, you know. we didn't relay the pitch in summer like we would normally, because obviously the season overran, and then it was a case of, well, we've only got sort of 2 weeks break before the, you know, before we start the season, we're not going to have time to relay the pitch. You see it across a lot of clubs as well. A lot of clubs in the Championship, you can see their pitches churning because not many, or not many, if any, would have had them changed. You know, we've got, I think ourselves lucky because we've had games suspended, is that the word? Game suspended? Postponed, that's the word. We've had games postponed against Rotherham. We've had games postponed against Barnsley because of waterlogged pitches. Derby, you've got to think we're lucky because we've got, we can afford undersoil heating. We can afford the heaters that go across the pitch to dry the pitch to make sure they are playable, you know. So there is that. But, like I said, when you've ran the club like we have, you know, Mr. Morris has in the last few years, you know, we've got outstanding loans to pay. And essentially, I think it was... Was it Matt? Yeah, Matt Shrimper, I think it is, from The Athletic, who obviously broke the news of the takeover. You know, he sort of wrote an article about the takeover the other day again. He basically wrote the article the day before Mel Morris came out to the Daily Mail. It basically said that it is now sort of, there is a takeover, but it's not the takeover. You know, so there will be a takeover. Mel obviously wants to sell the club, and you know, can't blame him if he's suffering from ill health, and he just doesn't want to fund it anymore. Then yeah, fair enough. But I think he worked out after all the, if it is 65 million, I think it sort of worked out that Mel Morris would probably only make it wouldn't make anything from the sale of the club. I think it would be £10 million to buy the club, and then the rest of it would be to cover the loans. From MSD or Henry Gabbai, perhaps, I don't know, whoever we've had money loaned from, which just shows you where we're at, and it shows that it hasn't, you know, the club hasn't been ran well over the past few years, and I think Mel's taken risks that have not paid off. You know, the Lampard season, for instance, you know, he took a risk getting a young manager, but that young manager got players in, and we got to the playoff final. How we got there, you know, we can say, yeah, we only scraped top six, you know, we should have done better, etc. And if you look at all the players that Lampard signed, only Waghorn is still here. You know, and we had three Premier League loanee players, one playing in the Championship now, two playing, well, actually, one's playing at Serie A in Tamori, and Mount's playing for Chelsea. You know, we had the players in to get us there. You know, we got to the final. We all know what happened in the final. And again, the gamble failed. It didn't happen for us. And then that was it. That turning point, when Mel Morris came, when Cocky was signed and said that we had to essentially rely on our youth team or promote youth players into, you know, our first team, there wouldn't be a great deal to spend on senior players. That said it all. It said exactly where we were at. Because start of that season, that was before the pandemic hit, and we had no money to spend. Or we had a little bit of budget, and we spent obviously eight to 10 million on Christian Bielik, which, had he not been injured twice, would have been worth the money. But off-field, things aren't things aren't great off the pitch. You know, if we can sell, we no doubt Mel will sell. You know, he said he'd always do what's best for the club, you know, and he wouldn't sell to somebody, a chancer. He would sell to somebody that had the best interest of the club at heart. But on the pitch, though, we're going back to on the pitch things, because that's where things are brighter, that's where things are better. We move forward now. Things are looking up. Things are getting better. We are getting results. We are getting wins. I think in the form table, we're about the fifth. I think we're about fifth in the form table over the last 10 games or so. It just shows how far we've come, you know. But it just shows you, though, we might be fifth in the form table, we're still only 6 points off the drop zone. It shows how tight it is. So we've got to keep on winning, you know. And yeah, as I said, tonight wasn't a great performance by any stretch of the imagination. It was absolutely dire, but whatever. A win's a win. And you get so much confidence from a win as a team. So we take that now, we go to Watford, we go to Vicarage Road, you know, and we go play our game against them. I think that's what we need to do. I said about Wayne tinkering. You know, I think I think tonight we dropped down to Wickham's level far too much. Rather than playing our own game, I think we go to Watford, we play our own game, we give everything we've got, we try and get a win. We know they're a good team, Watford are. You know, they play good football. They're a side that like to keep the ball on the deck. They like to play football. You know, you've got Will Hughes, who's sort of firing on all cylinders at the moment, you know, former Ram. So it's going to be a tough battle, tough, hard slog. But fingers crossed, you know, we can dig in deep like we did tonight. And we can get a result. You know, I don't think a point would be a bad result, in all fairness. And I think after tonight as well, it's sort of, I wouldn't say eases the pressure a little bit, but because we got that win, you know, it does mean we can sort of go, yeah, we can take a point, you know, and we'll be fine with that. But obviously we're all fans and we're greedy and we all want the win. So, you know, that's what we want. We want to win. You know, we want to cheer our team on. You know, we want to support our team. And, you know, at the moment, yeah, we have to watch on telly. We have to listen on Radio Derby. It's horrible not being at games. You know, I think a lot of people tonight, you know, we've got it because we like going to older grounds like Adams Park, you know, Wycombe Wanderers. You know, we like going to them sort of grounds, you know. And I think it would have been mint tonight, the atmosphere. I think we would have created it. And I think that's the thing as well, you know, our players, you know, they thrive off our prize, our crowds at Pride Park. But now they're managing to do it without us, you know. So hopefully they can keep this up. And we all know that nowadays that this league, anybody can beat anybody. You know, it's not a great high standard league this season. Home and away doesn't really matter without any fans. You know, so perhaps, you know, maybe we can pull off a victory. You know, I'm quietly confident that we can go there and get at least a point. Quietly confident we can go there and get at least a point. Because they'll want to play football, which means that we can sort of sit in and do what we sort of do against these teams that like to play football. And that's counter on them. And we seem to have, you know, become a pretty decent counter-attacking side. We seem to be a side that are very good at set pieces. Again, two goals from set pieces tonight. You know, so if we're not creating chances, you know, in open play, we're creating chances from set pieces. So quietly confident we can get at least a point, perhaps nick a win. I'm saying all this now, but come Friday night, I could actually look like, you know, I could be sat here with egg on my face and everyone going, ha, you were wrong. Never mind, eh? But hey. Anyway, guys, it was just a quick blast, quick podcast. You know, I really, you know, I've missed doing them, but like I said, this has been recorded on my phone. Hopefully, you know, the work I'm having done on my house will be done soon, so I can get my laptop and get my guests back on and have a proper good chat, you know, with you all and with a guest, and we can talk Derby County. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening. As always, thank you for subscribing. If you're not subscribed, remember you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. Remember, you can also follow me on Twitter at RamsWriter and on Facebook at The RamsWriter Podcast and also on Instagram at The RamsWriter Podcast. So that's me done. Oh, score prediction. I'll stuff it. I'm going to go 2-1 Derby. We're going to nick a win against Watford on Friday. Yes, we are. I know you think I'm mad. I know you think I'm crazy. But yes, I do think we can at least get a point. But I'm going for all three. I'm going to cheeky little, you know. We're going to get we're going to play two up top and we're going to have Gregory and CKR on the score sheet again. Happy days. Right, that's me done anyway, guys. Thank you as always so much for listening. Remember to like, share, comment. Really appreciate the love. And I shall see you next time, hopefully with a guest. And until then, come on, Derby.